Hello friends and welcome to episode number 51 of the Kings of Anglia podcast, brought to you in association with johnbanks.co.uk. For your next new or used vehicle, Andy, go to johnbanks.co.uk. My name is Mark Heath, I'm your host as ever, and with me is one half of the dynamic duo, Andy Hutchman, Alfred Hutchcock Warren. How are you?
Hello.
Unfortunately, your wingman, Stuart Watson's, decided to take a day off.
And you're
today.
Right, he is my wingman.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's correct.
That's the ranking.
That is the correct ranking.
Yep. He's off today. Stu's obviously a long day yesterday, recording this Monday afternoon now. Stu's having today off to get ready for tomorrow's press conference. Obviously, Town straight back into a game on Wednesday. But we are here, first of all, to reflect on yesterday's Derby Day defeat at Norwich. Grimly predictable. 3-0, of course. I'm sure you've seen it. There's going to be no general banter this week, Andy, because we've only just recorded the podcast on Friday and nothing has happened in our lives.
No. Nope.
I'm speaking for myself and kind of presumptively you there.
Yep.
Because you've been working all weekend. So let's get straight into the game, shall we? 3-0.
Yep.
I actually enjoyed it as a spectacle, as a game.
Yep.
It was feisty, it was fighty. I like all that. Lambo getting sent off, lots of collisions and controversy all over the pitch, people getting into conflict. But it just, for me, it just laid bare the difference in the quality between the two teams.
Yeah.
Your thoughts, first of all.
My thoughts are that your two worlds have collided in this game, haven't they? Mm. Football meets fighting. Although, let's be honest,
it's not really fighting, though.
The fighting felt like it was massive and yeah. Like, wow, what's it? It's a brawl. Like, you look yeah. back on it.
It
wasn't very much, was no. it? Let's be honest.
Brawls are what you see sometimes in baseball, where someone, the pitcher hits the batter and both benches come out and literally throw hands all over the pitch. This was more kind of handbags, a bit of pushing and shoving. Mm. I think in football, it's never really fighting. It's always kind of, oh, hold me back. God, if I could only get to you sort of thing. Because they know they're not actually going to be allowed to fight. And none of them actually know how to fight anyway. So apart from that, though, I enjoyed it all.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously you were in the ground. The atmosphere looked fantastic.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah, as a, if you're talking about this as a neutral, it was a great. Like, I think you used the right word, spectacle. Mm. It was a real game. It was blood and thunder. But you're right. There was a gap in class. Although Ipswich did play some good stuff.
It did, yeah.
When that goal went in after a minute and 20 seconds, I think we all thought, oh. Let's check the record books. Let's see where this is going to rank on biggest Derby Day defeats. But to Ipswich's credit, it would have been so easy for them to have completely folded. Mm. They're bottom of the league. Their local rivals are top of the league. Have just taken the lead after a minute.
Mm.
It would have been so easy for them to completely fold. To their credit, they stood up to it, came back into the game. But you're right. Ultimately, quality told, sadly, and that's why Norwich are top and why Ipswich are bottom.
For me, watching, as you say, when Norwich took the lead, I tweeted FFS with a hand hitting the head. Because, as you say, at that point, you thought, it's going to be a cricket score now. But Ipswich dug in, and I thought for, you know, maybe the second half of the first half and until Norwich scored in the second half, Ipswich were actually in control. They were bossing. They played some nice stuff.
Yeah.
It's just the quality isn't there, is it, when they need it? They just can't score. The final ball's never good enough. And I thought the second goal really summed up the difference between the two teams, and maybe even Ipswich's season. Obviously, you've seen a load more than Ipswich and I have, but Judge has that good chance. It was a tough chance, but obviously goes wide. Then literally in the next phase of play, Pennington gives the ball away. Pookie ends up with a chance. Again, a tough chance with Chambers bearing down on him, and he buries it. And it's just that kind of quality when it matters that was
That's what Norwich want to do to you. They want, the, you know, I think they would prefer to have had more of the ball than Ipswich allowed them to have, but what they want to do to you is be clinical. They want to cut you open with quick, decisive ball, which is exactly what Buendia did when he received that ball from Pennington. He drove forward, one pass, one more touch from Pookie and it's in the back of the net. That's exactly what they've done all season. I think if you Norwich would probably talk about this game from a bit of a different perspective to what we're talking about. I think they would be pleased with how that went. They picked Ipswich off when they needed to and did exactly what they do, which is these quick vertical balls into strikers to finish. But yeah, from an Ipswich perspective, there's things to kind of hang your hat on and be proud of from an Ipswich perspective in terms of fight and stuff, but the gap in quality is pretty obvious.
Stats-wise, actually, Ipswich had the better of it, didn't they? They had more shots, they had more possession.
Yeah.
So there are things to be positive, which we'll come on to in a minute. So we'll just reflect on kind of the, I guess, the, certainly from a Town fan's point of view, and it's all over our papers and online today, the main incident was the Lambert.
Yeah, that's what this game will be remembered
for. Yeah, the Lambert red card. So breaking it down, I don't know what your view of it was in the stadium, but obviously there's a coming together, there's a tackle in front of the bench, and there's a bit of handbags back and forth, and that's kind of dying down. And then suddenly the TV camera pans up and you see Lambert's giving it some right in someone's face.
Mm-hmm.
And it all kicks off from there. And then next thing you know, you've got policemen involved. And Lambert's being kind of restrained and pushed back. I thought it was fantastic, I've got to say. And obviously that will write Lambert's name into Ipswich Town Derby Day folklore. But what was the feeling in the ground? Were you aware of what was going on?
We had quite a good view of that. Because if you're looking at the benches as you were on the TV, we were kind of on the Ipswich side of that, slightly above to the right.
Mm.
So we had quite a good view of what Lambert was up to. Couldn't really see what the Norwich folk were doing, but we could see that Lambert was keen to make his point, and a lot of pointing.
There was a lot of pointing. What I enjoyed was, the wrong guy got sent off for Norwich.
That's always fun.
That was fantastic. But even so, as he went down the tunnel, I don't know if you saw, but Lambert was giving it some to him as well as he went down the tunnel, pointing and looking like he was
killing. Lots of pointing.
But also I enjoyed Luke Chambers' intervention, because obviously there was a situation, Lambert was kind of pointing at, who was the guy from Norwich that actually should have got sent off?
The assistant, Edward Arima.
So he pushes him, and then you see lip reading, Norwich assistant says, "What's all that about?" And then suddenly Chambers comes steaming in, doesn't he?
Defending just, his manager. Yeah,
just literally just grabs hold of him and pushes him back.
Chambers was pure peacemaker for the stuff on the pitch. Yeah. Pure peacemaker. Also, love it when a goalkeeper runs up and gets involved. Bart was there, which is good. Always, if you're the goalkeeper, always get involved. That elevates these things. Yeah, Chambers, pure peacemaker, did a good job of calming that down. He's the one that calmed that all down on the pitch. Then you're right, I think he saw a little bit more.
The gaffer's in trouble.
Yep.
He wasn't in trouble at all. I'm sure
not
he
really.
Himself.
I'd back Paul Lambert in one-on-one matchups with all of those and his assistants as well. I think they'd all be quite handy.
Judo champion on the bench.
Exactly. Imagine that, just tossing Daniel Farker over his shoulder onto the pitch.
What do we make of Farker's sly little wink to the camera while this was going on?
I believe he addressed that post-match. He said
something along the lines of, sometimes you've got to do your talking to the camera. And obviously went on to kind of insinuate that Paul Lambert lacked class.
Yeah, I'm not sure it was Lambert that was necessarily aimed at. I don't know who he was talking about. Yeah, 95% of the Ipswich Town contingent are good lads.
Yeah.
5% aren't. I took that 5% to be Grant Pringle of the media team.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I told him that.
That's the story.
I think he's quite happy to be part of that 5%.
Do we know, obviously, you were in contact with Mr. Lambert afterwards. He gave quite a short interview to the TV. Did he say any more to the press boys about...
What did he say to the TV? I've not seen the Sky.
He just basically said he wasn't going to let someone come into their technical area. And he was standing his ground, essentially.
Yeah, that's basically what he said.
So we don't actually know what was said. There wasn't anything per se.
I don't think anything was particularly said. I think
just a bit of jostling.
Yeah, because obviously it all stems from that Nolan tackle, which I have now seen back. They obviously wanted that to be more than a yellow card. It was pretty strong and a bit wild, but I think a yellow was fair enough on that one. But I don't think there was anything particularly said to spark it. I think just tensions were all quite high, and they fancied a bit. And all I liked it, so more of that, please.
Yeah, I loved it. And then obviously Lambert sees red, which I didn't realise until this morning we were chatting about it. You didn't used to be able to send managers off.
This is the first season where, and it's only in the EFL leagues as well. You can't be given a red card in the Premier League.
Yeah,
but. That is the third card given to Ipswich technical staff this season. Nathan Winder, Paul Hurst's old fitness coach, was booked at Exeter for swearing, I think. Jimmy Walker was booked, the goalkeeping coach, recently, and now the real one, the red, to Mr. Lambert. So it's
fitting that Lambert gets the first red.
I just can't believe that. I was sitting there just thinking, I cannot believe that that has just happened.
Yeah.
He spent the whole week not wanting to answer questions about Norwich. His first press conference as Ipswich manager was all about, Norwich isn't a factor, let's play all that down. And here we are, he's been sent off. Yeah. I just couldn't believe that it had happened. But
it was beautiful.
Yeah.
What do we know what happens to him now? Does he get a...
Well, I've spoken to the FA this morning. They are... What time are we recording this? About midday, isn't it?
Midday, Monday. I think
they're due to get the referee's report. The referee has to have his report from the game in by midday the following day. And a lot of what happens from now on is determined by what he's seen in that report.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of... There's likely to be a touchline ban, I think, for this red card. But that will depend on what the referee has actually sent him off for.
Right.
Whether it's... I think if it's for foul and abusive language, that would be a two-match ban. Violent conduct, which I would be shocked if that is violent. Violence. And that
wasn't violence. That's not violence, then we're all in.
So that would be three. And then I've looked at... The first manager to be shown a red card this season was Chris Powell at Southend in August. I think he did something similar and got a one-match touchline ban.
Is that likely to be in place for Derby then, on Wednesday?
I would imagine so. Yeah. I'd imagine so. Okay. There's a fine and a one-game touchline ban, but we'll see.
Lambert obviously said afterwards he had no problems with the red card. He understood why he'd been sent off.
It all adds to his legend.
Do you know, part of me wondered if he'd done it deliberately.
This is I showed it to my wife this morning, and this is doesn't care one bit about the football, but she thinks he did it on purpose, and I for one entertained that.
What's the idea behind doing it on purpose from her point of view? Because you see it sometimes in American sport, particularly where a manager, particularly in baseball, where a manager will argue with an umpire and go chest to chest and want to get thrown out to try and fire up the troops, sort of thing. And I wondered if maybe that was the thinking for Lambert here, that you know, he wanted some fire and brimstone and that sort of stuff, or was it just that he wanted to make a statement on his return to Norwich?
Yeah, my wife's explanation of that is because he wanted to look hard, but I don't think he's the kind of guy that would do that if he really wanted to make a statement. I think he probably would have done more than a bit of pointing as well. But
at least get a punch.
No, I don't think so. I think this, like we said on the podcast we did before this game, Paul Lambert is a football fan. He is a football fan. He loves football. He loves the tribalism and the passion of football.
Mm.
And I think he just... And like you said, he will defend his team and he will do that passionately. I think he just got caught up in something and...
I loved it. I absolutely loved it. And it just made me like Lambert even more than I already do.
Well, he's now the Ipswich manager that once managed Norwich but then went back to Norwich and decided to try and
sent off.
Tried to fight everyone and got sent off.
Norwich sideline.
Paul Lambert is a blue. He hates Norwich and the police and the stewards.
I did wonder actually, because it's hard to tell on the TV. Obviously, you see him talking to the copper, and it didn't look particularly friendly. And I thought, God, is he going to end up in handcuffs?
No,
it was good.
At the end of the game, actually, he was at pains to stress at the end of the game actually that the steward, get off.
Yeah.
The policeman, you're all right. I'm led to believe, actually, that policeman is a member of the Suffolk Constabulary.
Is he?
Yeah, he's because they do send quite a lot of...
there's a joint operation.
Yeah, there's a lot of Suffolk police, Ipswich police up there. And I think he was a home copper.
Yeah.
So maybe he had Mr Lambert's best interest in at heart there.
Absolutely.
Also, the Sky TV touchline reporter was trying to restrain Paul Lambert. That's not
Why
for you.
Involved?
Just sit down, mate. That's not for you. That's just stay out of
just
it.
Film it. Yeah. Okay. So that was for me. It was the highlight of the game. Let's talk about other reasons to be positive from the game before we put it to bed and move on and look ahead to mailbag and such. I thought watching the game that Alan Judge was very lively.
Yep.
For me, looked like kind of the player that he was on his way to being, involved in all the good things that Ipswich did. And also Teddy Bishop, when he came on, looked very, very lively. And obviously Norwich decided they'd better kick him up in the air as much as they could. Fair thoughts?
I liked Judge. Yeah, Judge had a bit more of a free role in this one. He just seemed to be 6 or 7 yards away from every Ipswich Town player that ever had the ball. It was an option for any... whoever had the ball, Alan Judge was an option for them, and he certainly bought into the derby as well, wasn't he? He was pumped up from the first minute. Yeah, I liked him in that role. It's where he wants to play, and Obviously, the initial deal with him is only until the summer, but goodness me, if they can get him sort of firing and in League One,
he could and should be
the centrepiece of an Ipswich Town team. Really, he could be like Bradley Dack was for Blackburn last season. That's a few months away though, but he was great, and it's just great to see that Bishop is consistently getting on the pitch at the moment. Thank you, friend, you've just passed me some. What are we eating?
This is my favourite chewing gum. It's Airwaves blackcurrant flavour.
I like it.
It's like chewing a hall soother, essentially.
Teddy Bishop signed a new contract on Saturday as well, which is great. It's a long term contract. Some faith in Ipswich Town. Ipswich Town have given him a contract to 2021 with another year on top of that, and yeah, another one that if you can get him firing in League One,
for a guy who's been out injured so much, he looked like he had no fear. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes that's you see the players best thing. Come back and they're tentative.
Yeah.
But for me, he was properly into it and not worried about whatever he was doing.
Yeah, and that's the big thing for him. He's been like that since he came back into the side, mainly in 2019, the games he's played this year.
Mm.
He's been like that in all of the games. He's going in for challenges. There was a passage of play against Sheffield Wednesday last weekend where I think it was him and Judge actually were just... There was a 10-second passage of play where they were both just diving into tackles and dragging opponents around, and it's great to see him. That's not Teddy's game, but it's great to see that he's able to put his body in that position, because that's the battle with him. We know how good he is. It's just his body.
Yeah. Well, the things to bring up before we move on, Jonas Knudsen.
Yeah.
The team, that was a bit of a shock, wasn't it?
Yep. Yep. We spoke about that a lot last week.
Yeah.
I think in this room we all agreed. He probably gave Ipswich the best chance to win games at left back, but I don't know if any of us actually expected it to happen. I thought he did okay.
Yeah. Tough game to come into, having
but it's a game that he loves.
Yeah.
He got caught up a bit of an over enthusiasm, maybe in the first minute. Got caught upfield. He was the one that was kind of turned on halfway, which left John Nolan, who's just not quick enough, to scamper back and down that right side. But I thought he did okay, Jonas.
Mm.
If Paul Lambert's still in survival mode, which I guess he has to be for now, I'd carry on playing him, I think.
Do you think there's been a thawing of relations there? Because obviously not too long ago, Lambert was saying essentially that he thinks he's better than he is.
It's quite a turnaround, isn't it?
Yeah.
I've got no idea what relations have been like between... We've only heard one side of this debate throughout the whole of January, but they've had a conversation, and Lambert is happy enough that his head was in the right place to play, and that's what he did.
How about disappointments? For me, watching the game, I thought Cole Skuse looked a bit off the pace.
Yeah, he
did. John Nolan, I forgot, was actually playing for a large period of the game.
Until Colin
Quayne not even on the bench.
He was injured.
Was he? Okay.
Yeah. A slight, I think it was a hamstring.
Okay.
He was injured. He certainly would have been on the bench, I think, ahead of Caden Jackson, probably, had he been fit. Cole Skuse is a tough one, because Cole Skuse has played the best football that I've ever seen him play during the first month of Paul Lambert's reign here. I've not seen Cole Skuse as much as, certainly not as much as Stu has, or as much as any of the listeners probably have either, because of working elsewhere during much of his time here. But for me, that month of November was the best I've ever seen him play. But since he's gone away, he's had surgery on his knee. It was still like 7 or 8 weeks ago, if not less than that. And since then, it's admirable that he's back playing, but it must be hampering him.
Yeah,
it must be.
Absolutely. And then after the game, you had a good chat to Luke Chambers as well, didn't you? Which is going to form a large part of the paper for tomorrow, Tuesday.
Yeah.
Any kind of insights you can give the listeners there as to what Chambers
honest
to
as honest as ever, talking about fight and being proud of the fight that the team showed, questioning whether that fight has been there for the last few weeks and months. Stressing that that's what needs to be there if they're going to have any chance of doing what is now miracle territory, double miracle. What's more than a miracle?
Miracle squared. I don't know.
Exactly, miracle squared.
Yeah, that's all they need.
Yeah, talking about fight, but an acceptance that the worst probably will happen there. He knows that it's going a certain way, but he wants to be the man to lead them back. The best, you know, the most striking thing that he said was, "Look, if and when Ipswich Town are relegated, I'm the man that's going to have to live with being the captain that's taken them down to the lowest place they've been in 60 years." And what we know of Luke Chambers, we know that will sit so heavily on him because he cares. Whatever you make of him as a player and things like that, you can't question how much he cares, and he really does.
Yeah.
And this is hurting and will hurt when the seemingly inevitable happens, but he wants to be the man to lead them back. He thinks they want him to be the man to lead him back.
Good stuff. Look out for that in the paper on Tuesday. If you listen to this, it'll be online as well. Hutchie, let's draw a line under Norwich. Let's forget about that, because that's probably the last time they're going to play each other for a little while, potentially.
How long, though?
It's hard, isn't it? I mean,
There's a few moving parts in this.
Obviously Norwich still aren't promoted yet. Ipswich still aren't down. I'd imagine it's going to be the last time for at least a season, don't you?
One way or another. I think, yeah, or both ways.
But I'll tell you this.
Both might happen.
I had a little bit of an epiphany during the game.
Oh, yeah?
Hot take. I think it came about during the Rumble with Lambert. I thought, do you know what? For me, I think Paul Lambert is the man that's going to get Ipswich Town back into the Premier League.
I really do.
I just have a feeling he's kind of bounced around club to club, but here I think he's got something he can really get his teeth into. He can mould a club and a team in his own image, and I thought that, you know, part of that was the kind of the brawl or melee, whatever you want to call it, just shows how much he cares. And I think, yeah, all right, Town are going to go down to League One potentially, probably, but then I think as long as he's got the backing, I can see him doing what he did at Norwich again. I think he's got his feet well and truly under the desk. This is not a temporary thing for him. He's got a plan and he wants to build.
He's painted the office wall.
Absolutely. The fans are all behind him. And I can just see it being a right, as he keeps saying, when it turns, it's going to turn, it's going to be lovely. I can just see it being a movement, an absolute movement, starting next season. And maybe, who knows, bouncing right back up into the Premier League.
I hope you're right.
I feel very strongly about this. And I also, hot take, the next time Ipswich play Norwich, Ipswich is going to win the game.
Okay.
That's a double hot take.
And Lambert will be in charge, really.
Lambert will be in charge, yeah.
As we sat down in the... I had my chat with Luke Chambers, along with Brenner from the BBC. We sat in the dugout, away dugout at Norwich. And Luke just sat there and he said, "So this is what it's like, is it? I'll be sat here one day, 3-0 up."
Oh, wow.
Smiling.
There you go. Nice.
While holding his wrist, which is broken, by the way. Yeah. He's finally admitted that.
Yeah.
We were pretty sure it was broken. He was holding... He's also got a really grisly scar down that wrist from a previous injury that he did.
Yeah.
And just to play on Sunday, he had a large amount of blood drained from his foot.
Nice.
On Thursday, just to take some swelling down.
I can't remember which half it was, but there was a situation where I think it was a corner, a free kick, and both he and... I think it was Pennington, went for the same ball and Luke ended up getting knocked to the floor and landed on his wrist, and he kind of sat on TV, you could see it, I don't know, better probably than where you were, but he, instead of just getting straight up, he kind of sat holding his wrist and was kind of taking several deep breaths, and I thought, if he's got a broken wrist, that will absolutely murder.
Well, he had to hold it the whole way through the interview that we did, and in the other hand he was holding this plastic cast contraption, which say what you want about him, but he cares, and he pushes that body of his through all sorts.
I like Chambers.
I do as well. He's my favourite player to interview by a country mile.
Yeah,
he's great. He's honest.
Is he still a bit snipey? Because obviously he was a bit snappy with us, wasn't he?
Yeah,
previously a bit kind of chippy Chambers and all that sort of stuff.
He'll always be. I think that's just the way he is. He's always like that.
Yeah.
But you know, he always shakes your hand. Always says hello, and it just comes from the heart, and you can't really ask anything more when you're speaking to someone for an interview.
So there you go. There's my two tremendous hot takes. My history of hot takes is obviously brilliant. Drynan, best not mention that. It sounded like you were leaning towards a hot take of your own there with Luke Chambers as a Town manager.
That's his own hot take.
That's his own hot take. Okay. So we'll move on now. Let's put that behind us, Hutch. That game's done. Town have got two big games this week, which we'll come on to shortly. What do you want to do now? Do you want to do a Mark's big question, or do you want to do mailbag? There's a lot in my old bag.
I want to know where I should buy my next new or used vehicle.
Very interesting you should ask that, Hutch, and I've got just the answer for you. I can tell you, for cars and motorcycles, visit johnbanks.co.uk. That's johnbanks.co.uk. Right, now
have you ever ridden
away.
A motorbike?
I haven't, no.
Me neither. Well, I've sat on one and I've stalled it.
I like the idea, but I'm not sure in practice that it would be a good idea for me.
I want to get a motorbike with a sidecar, and Stu can go in the sidecar
because
he's my wingman.
That scene in The Office with
Gareth.
Yeah, when he's going.
Yeah, slightly different.
Slightly different scenario, but you know what I mean. Yeah, yeah.
Winston.
So what are you saying? Mailbag, big question.
Mark's big question. Please.
Yes. You got to do the audio.
You're gonna have to do the other.
I'll do the echo.
Mark's big question.
Question.
I might make a jingle for this one
day. We should do a jingle.
Do you want one?
Why not?
I'll do
it. It's a popular part of the show. Right, so between numbers 1 and 36, I've added a couple more over the weekend. Ooh. What are you saying?
Are the fresh ones the higher numbers?
Yeah.
I want one of your fresh ones. I'll go 35.
35. A daily ritual which you suspect others will think is odd.
Ooh.
Here's mine. When we go out, it's maybe not daily, but when we go out, I put the telly on for the dog. And not only that, I actually spend time trying to find something I think he'll like. So, for example, like Saturday, it was just me and Benson. I had to nip out and go to the shop for an hour or so. And I sat for about 5 minutes before I left trying to find what I thought he'd like. In the end, I think I left him with some Premier League football to watch. He likes sport. He likes jungle programmes. He likes watching cartoons as well. I think the bright colours appeal to him. So, yeah, that's obviously not odd. That's entirely normal behaviour. This is from a guy whose dog has 5,500 followers on Instagram.
I know, he's such a popular
Valentine's
lad,
cards,
isn't he?
Which is entirely normal and not in any way crazy. So that would be mine, Hutchie. What about you? Have you got rituals you might think are a touch odd? Any kind of superstitions or...
I'm not really superstitious. I do have funny... I have to sit in the same places.
Yeah.
In things, so...
In particular scenarios, you mean?
Yeah, but well, both in terms of other people and in places. So at my mum and dad's, I still insist in sitting at this place at the table where I sat as a kid. Still insist on that. And I can only walk on the left of my wife.
On the left?
Yeah.
Okay. So what, regardless of where you are?
Yeah, and I will swap. If whatever the scenario is.
Yeah. So if you're walking down a road,
mm.
and she's on the... Hold on. Yeah. You'd switch, would you?
Yeah, stand up.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's a good job we're recording this.
Yeah, you're Vicky.
I'm walking down the road.
I have to be here.
Okay.
If the
road's here, you don't then switch around to kind of prevent her from being hit by a car
first. Absolutely not.
No? Good man.
If we're going down, we're going down together anyway.
Absolutely. So you've got kind of an Ant and Dec style positions.
I think that...
I'm the same.
Worryingly, that translates to Stu.
Yeah?
I kind of feel like I need to be on his left.
To be honest, mate, when we do the Facebook Lives and when I do the TV stuff that I do, I have to be on the same side that I normally am. Or in the, like, I don't, we just recently switched
to
where I was in the middle of Facebook Live.
And I didn't really like that. Yeah, I didn't like it either.
Yeah.
So we need to go back. If we're both uncomfortable, it needs to go back.
You've got to be comfortable.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. So that's another one for another week. Mark's big question, we'll have to ask you what his answer to that would have been when we get back together next week. But let's do mailbag, Hutchie, now. We've got an absolute load of questions.
Let's do them all.
I want to get through all of them.
Let's do them all.
Because it's important and we appreciate your input. So I'm just scrolling through Twitter now to get to them. Where is the first one? Here we go. From Zach, Zed Cunnell on Twitter. I thought the system/formation we played suited us yesterday. Do you think we'll play this way more going forward?
I don't know. It suited certain players, I think. You've got to have the right players to play it. Judge kind of being at the point of more of a diamond midfield was great for him.
Mm.
But, like you've said, John Nolan was very quiet, wasn't he? And it needs a player to be playing in that role which is kind of the where the protection to the fullback will come.
Mm.
He needs to be a bit more involved, and I don't know. It looked good, but it didn't. It still didn't create chances, did it?
No, they played some good stuff, but again, they didn't look like they were going to score.
I don't know.
Ian Illinois Blue, who I'm just checking on his page there, lives in Wisconsin. He's a fan of Ipswich Town,
so he's not really an Illinois Blue, then, is he?
Chicago.
Yeah,
Illinois.
Wisconsin. Well, he lives in Wisconsin.
That's where's that?
It's north of there, but he's not he's not in Illinois, is he?
He's Milwaukee, Green Bay, shouldn't he? Yes. So he's a fan of Chicago Cubs and Chicago Bears as well. Anyway, Ian. Regardless, I fear the midweek headlines are going to be Derby or Derby, Cap D. The result is the same. What can ITFC do to get points or even a point on the board? We look incapable of keeping a clean sheet and have very little goal threat. That's the uncomfortable truth, isn't it, Hutchie?
Yep, and those two combined are not good.
It's not a combo you want.
The aim of the game is to score or not let the opposition score. And if you can't do either of them, you generally find yourself at the bottom of the league.
So what can Town do to get points?
I don't know.
Yeah, they've just got to carry some kind of goal threat from somewhere, haven't they?
Yeah. That's... I don't know. Clearly, they don't know either.
Darren Bent was asked this question. He was the town-based summariser on Sky in the studio. His response was, sign some loan players, getting a striker from somewhere.
It's February, Darren.
I know. That was his response.
Getting a striker from some... Was he touting himself again?
Could be. I mean, we had that thing, didn't we, where he said, come and get me, basically. Was that during the Hurst? Or was that
that was Hurst. That was like September.
Still looking trim, old Darren Brent.
He played some six-a-side recently for England.
That's right, yeah. Despicable ME. Pennington is costing us too many goals and needs to be dropped if we are to start picking any points up. He may have a decent future, but right now he's a liability. I believe we would have won had Collins been fit. That's quite a stretch there.
Yes.
I mean, obviously Pennington was at fault for the second goal. We gave the ball away.
I like Pennington.
Yeah.
That whole team's making mistakes, and they just get magnified for defenders. Look, how many times have we talked about Jordan Spence's mistakes at right back? The left back situation, both before Knudsen was dropped and then with Elder and Kenlock since.
Mm.
Mistakes. Pennington, he's made a mistake.
It was a shame that Collins wasn't fit, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You can imagine he would have been a good player to have in a derby game like
absolutely.
Craig, at Craig10 on Twitter. Should we now be focusing on developing our youngsters and playing those that are likely to be here next season in League One? Or do you think that the players Lambert got in will be joining us for our League One tour? This is a kind of the question we get every week, isn't it? What's happening to the likes of Andre Dizel? Because obviously he was not in the squad. Is he injured or is he just not?
No. He's a tough one, isn't he? Because we know just how talented he is.
Mm.
But I can also see why, at this stage, he's not kind of being featured.
I'll just ask the next question as well because it's kind of linked.
Okay.
While you consider the answer, Phil Kerridge, if we're going to play two up front, why not play Jackson and Harrison? Both will be here next season. Use this time to help build their understanding. So two questions.
Yeah.
On the same lines, really, saying let's start playing the players we're going to have next season in League One.
Yeah. I think the short answer is that Lambert's doing everything that he thinks is right in terms of keeping them in the league. Because that's, you know, going down will change the history of this club. You know, say what you will about, you know, whether it's the right thing to do or not, but his goal is still to keep them in the Championship. There will come a point where that goal changes, and that's why it's such a good thing that in fact the manager is committed beyond the season, because you can then start thinking about the future. But I would say for now you're still fighting, aren't you? You're still fighting to do everything you can. This we said about these three games coming up. Norwich has obviously come and gone with no points. There's now Derby at home on Wednesday, Stoke at home on Saturday. You can talk yourself into it, like, what if they get 6 points from those games? It's impossible to really fathom that happening. But
can't see that.
You can't, but what if they do? Then the whole thing is suddenly turned on its head. But there has to come a point, and that has that point really has to come before it's mathematically certain that Ipswich are down, if it continues the way that it is, that you do have to to look forward to next season. And that's why it's just so vital for the club that they've got the manager in place already, because those kind of things become worthwhile then.
A couple more on the formation. Sam Rogers says Lambert's on something with that diamond formation, isn't he? Despicable Me back on says the formation looks to give Judge the freedom to possibly hurt teams and be our best chance of picking up any points. He says, however, Scoose is so far off the pace since his injury is holding us back. Time to take him out and play Downs. And also not sure what Nolan brings to the team, which are things you've kind of touched on
already. Yeah, that's the difficulty of it, because the system did look good, but you have to... It relies on... I think that kind of system, more of a narrow diamond, requires on every member, particularly of that midfield four, being on it. But they weren't on Sunday.
Barney Booth, this is the reason you brought your Dr. Watson style research into the
well,
it's
not really. I'll open the kimono here. It's a Wikipedia printout of the current Ipswich Town squad.
So. Yeah, Barney Booth says, from the current squad, who definitely goes in the summer? Thinking Dawkins, he's been a great signing, hasn't he? Spence, and which unlikely players could we somehow keep hold of? Collins, Bart. So what are you saying?
I'm going to go through my list. And these are, players that look nailed on to be leaving are Jordan Spence, Grant Ward, a decision to make there, given that he's injured. That'd be very tough. Well, I can see them kind of saying, why don't you hang around and do pre-season with us?
Okay.
And see how you are. Because, Ipswich have a duty of care with him as well in terms of his injury. So I'd imagine Spence will be off. You've just pointed to Tom Adeyemi, who I think we can all agree...
Definitely going to be here.
Yes.
Yeah. No, he's gone.
Yeah, I would. I don't know how you could possibly extend his contract.
No.
How could you possibly do that?
Based on what?
But based on anything.
Yeah.
Manuel and Kenlock, question marks over them. Out of contract. Nothing's been done yet. We'll see
them going.
There's options on both of them, but it wouldn't shock me. And then obviously Dawkins,
he's gone.
He's just not really a factor, is he? But then Quainer won't. Of the loans, I don't think Quainer will be here.
Mm-hmm.
Keane is a difficult one to do. Pennington, I don't think will be here, because as we know, Derby are suitors there, would like to buy him.
Yeah.
Shalabar won't be. I imagine Chelsea will want a loan higher up the pyramid than League One.
Mm-hmm.
What was the other part of the question? Unlikely players that you could keep.
So things like Bielkowski, who will obviously be on big money. James Collins, who's kind of talked before, saying he wouldn't rule it out.
Yeah, anyway. I wouldn't rule out Collins at all. I think he's different in that he really does just want to play football.
Well, he'd be an absolute rock in League One as well.
You'd think
he?
So, wouldn't you? If he's fit, and he'd be 36 during that season, but
yeah,
absolute rock. There aren't many players. Obviously, Knudsen will be off as well. There aren't, aside from the younger players, which there may well be clubs that see Dizel, Downs, dare I say it, Lancaster. I'd hope not, but you wouldn't blame other teams for being interested. But there aren't really many of the core of this squad that teams are going to look at and go, you know what, I'm going to go out and bid and pay money for these guys. So. I can see quite a lot of them being here.
Okay. Despicable ME has asked a lot of questions this time. What do you make of Chambers' post-match comments? A dig at teammates' commitment. What did he say? I haven't seen it.
I guess this is from the little video that the club put out, which is he said similar to us as well, just talking about fight, really, talking how proud he was of the fight that Ipswich showed at Norwich, but basically said, well, where's that been for... Where's that been for the last few weeks? He said to us that they called a team meeting this week to talk about fight. And he said, well, why on earth? And he was like, we shouldn't be having to call meetings. That should be ingrained in every football player.
Yeah.
That should be you. At the very base minimum level, fight.
Fight, I agree. and then he follows it up, despicable. Do you think Keane and Quainer have the heart for the fight? Both look as though they're going through the motions most of the time. I've got to say, Keane didn't really impress me yesterday.
Keane has split people, because I thought he was okay. I gave him on our on my ratings, I gave him a 5, which on the scale,
it's about right.
On there is average.
Mm.
I put him as average, which I thought, you know, I thought he did some nice things. He brought some players into play, but he offered no goal threat.
No, and he is a striker.
Yes, which is a fundamental part of what you're doing. But, yeah. But others were like, others said he was their best player, should have been higher. Others said I was too generous.
He was their best player. I mean,
yeah.
I can't even see.
I wouldn't question his heart and his fight, actually. Of the sort of January incomings, he's the one that I like the most, probably Collins aside, obviously. Quayne is a bit different. We've not seen anything near enough from him so far.
Brief cameo at Villa.
An hour at Villa where he threatened to change things for Ipswich, but in general, no, not seen enough. Not seen enough from him.
I'm staggered by the suggestion that Will Keane was Town's best player. Not even his own family members could make that argument, I would think.
I thought he played okay.
Best player on the pitch.
I thought he played okay, which is why he got an average.
Hey, it starts conversations. That's what we're all about. Matt Thomas, our old friend, I Am Spartacus, he of the 4-star iTunes review. Matt,
Are we still taking questions from 4-star raters?
We take all questions. We're a broad church here. Number one, not impressed with Bree. Would prefer Emmanuel got a chance and made mistakes than Aloney. And for any hope, we need a minimum of 4 points from the 2 games this week. Oh, and he goes on to address the 5-star review. On another note, the podcast is close to 5-star. I'm just giving you something to work towards.
So he's trying to. We need specifics on that.
We need specifics. How can we get that extra star? If this was a Michelin-starred restaurant, how could we get that second or third star?
I would want more jus
and soil.
Yeah, shout more jus, soil, a foam, an air.
Emulsions.
An emulsion. What else
you love all that stuff, don't you?
It's nonsense. It's a sauce.
But anyway, so he's saying not impressed with Bree. He'd rather see Josh Emmanuel play.
Yeah. Bree? It's a funny one. If everybody was fit, my first choice back four for Ipswich would be Pennington, Collins, Chambers, Knudsen. Bree wouldn't be in it.
But, yeah.
You know, he's a good young football player. He's tidy on the ball, but he lacks a bit of physicality, I think.
Mm. Strange one, isn't it? Like the Bree and the Elder situation. You've got Elder coming in now, who can't actually be... Seems to be missing out as a low knee.
Yep, he was on the bench,
Knudsen
yeah.
back in the team sort of thing.
Yeah.
And Bree the same, potentially in the other direction. And he says, for any hope, we need a minimum 4 points from 2 games. Agree?
Yeah. I'd agree with that. Minimum.
We'll come on to that in a bit before we finish. FPL Tractor. Do you think Lambert will now pick teams with League One in mind? Which youngsters might be worth a couple of games? Indaba, Wright, McGavin, and who looks destined for transfer list? So of those youngsters, who would you like to see a bit more of, potentially in the run-in to relegation to League One?
Not yet.
No?
I don't think... No. Certainly not yet. I think you could damage... Those level of youngsters, I think you could damage them. But I think actually they may well be worth waiting until the summer to integrate them. But I really like Corey Indaba.
Yeah. For those who haven't seen, just describe him as a player. Indaba.
He's an Irish centre half who's physical. He's quick, and positionally he's good, and he's vocal as well.
Advanced, as it were.
Yeah. He's good. He's physically good. Yeah, I like it. He's got all the raw tools, all of the tools that I think you need. He arrived as a 16-year-old as a midfielder, but they've converted him into a centre back. I like him a lot.
So is he kind of a passing centre back, like a Rio Ferdinand sort of?
He's not bad with his feet from what I've seen. He's a defender, but no, I like him a lot. I gather that he's maybe the next on the list for a pro contract. And Lambert referenced him recently, kind of in a centre-half pecking order. He was like, I think he was asked why he didn't allow Pennington to leave. And he was like, the only centre-halves I've got would leave Chambers, Collins and maybe Corey Indaba, which, you know, that's him ahead of Jordan Spence. So
interesting.
No, I like him. I like him a lot.
I like Idris Elmazouni. He's got a great goal for the under-23s at Crystal Palace the other week. You probably saw that on our websites, and you've always talked him up when you
see him. Yeah, I like him. I like him as well.
Physically, he's quite small, isn't he?
He is. He's young. Yeah. I would say he would be a fair way from playing first-team football at the moment, simply because ahead of him, you've got Teddy Bishop and Andre Dzel, who are similar-ish kind of players. He's kind of got the similar kind of drive to Teddy, and rather than Andre, but can pick a pass as well. Mm. He's a decent player.
FPL has a follow-up, almost as if he can listen to us recording this live. He says, I think King's got something and would suit playing with a partner more than being on his own. Yeah, I think I'd rotate those three, give them all a chance and write off Quainer.
I want to see more of Harrison. He came off the bench yesterday and looked decent, again. Yeah, I like him. I really like him. And I think going forward, he would be somebody next season that I would like to be maybe even the main man. I like him a lot.
Ben Prickett, where's Nydam? He can do a job too in place of Skuse. Either way, I agree that CS, Cole Skuse, is a weak link for us and we have suitable alternatives. We're not winning games anyway, so nothing to lose by dropping him. Mm. So Nydam, that's another one, isn't it?
Yeah, Nydam doesn't seem that close to things with Lambert at the moment. He's he didn't go out on loan again, so he's still here playing 23s. I think maybe I get the impression that there are people at the club that think maybe he was pushed a little hard to play as much, and circumstances dictated this, but to play as much as he did under Mick last season. I think he made 20 appearances in all. Maybe that was a bit much for him.
Yeah.
But no, I like him as well. But it would be a big ask for him to kind of anchor a midfield diamond just now.
Adrian Hawes, will we win another game this season?
Yes.
And what's your prediction for our final points haul?
I think they're going to finish above Bolton.
Okay.
Not just because they might be going into administration.
They get 10 points. No,
I think, not that this is much to shout about really, but I think they could finish above Bolton.
So how many wins are you predicting?
I think Ipswich will win 3 more games this season.
You're going to speculate which ones? Reading?
Well, they're the ones, aren't they? Reading, Bolton away, maybe. Yeah. I think they'll win 3 games, which will be nowhere near enough to keep them in the league, but might be enough to create a positive
feel
maybe.
Harvey Davis, our favourite Welshman, although he's not my favourite Welshman, because he said that the podcast was better without me last week. Joke. Harvey says, with Sears injured, depending on how long he'll be out for, surely we should be looking at Ben Morris. League One's looking inevitable now, and he would give Lambert a chance to look at him in a competitive game rather than the under-23s, which he said himself he doesn't take any notice of.
Harvey's done a Heathie there. Sadly,
what does that mean? He's been outstanding and incredibly good looking.
Both that and sadly, Ben Morris has done his cruciate knee ligament.
Awkward.
So much like Drynan, who was loaned out prior to you, like hours prior to you proclaiming him the Messiah.
I love the Messiah. Yeah.
Ben Morris, he's going to be out for 9 months with a cruciate, which is a real shame.
There you go, Harvey. We can't see Ben Morris because he's on crutches.
That would be irresponsible.
Absolutely. Craig F. Think Downs is a bit hot-headed to play that role, but he agrees that Cole Skuse is a shadow of his former self. He looks an old man since the latest injury. In an area of the pitch where we need energy, he offers the opposite. So, a few people...
I'm sure he's put his hand up and said, right, I can do this for the team. But he's... I think it's clear that...
What did he do to his knee, Cole Skuse?
I think it was a...
Was it ligament?
No. Well, it was. I think it was some cartilage.
Okay.
Had a cartilage operation, which was only very minor. Very minor. But surgery on your knee isn't minor.
I know from having a knee injury, I did my MCL a few years ago, that even now it's not 100%. And when you first start coming back and try and do movement, your knee, it feels like weak. And certainly cutting and changing angles and stuff, I can imagine that the excuse would probably be just not trusting it.
Yeah, but I don't think you'd expect anything less from Cole, who does it in a much more understated way than Chambers does. It's not the big rousing speeches, it's not the vocal on field stuff, but he cares as well, and he's put himself there for the team, but maybe for his own health that wasn't the most helpful thing for him.
Mr. G, who left us a review, 5-star iTunes review.
Good lad.
Thank you, Mr. G. He points out Ben Morris has had surgery. He goes on to say, what does the sending off for PL mean for a ban? If so, I'm even more disappointed with him. He needs to be present and in the fight, not stuck in the stands.
Yeah,
so Mr. G's not one who enjoyed.
Well, they're certainly going to miss something by not having his energy on the touchline.
Mm.
So obviously a big part of what he does is being visible and loud and demonstrative. But yeah, whatever happens there, we've talked about what may or may not happen in that regard. But whatever happens, that will be a miss for him not to be on the touchline.
Craig Ablett, how must Kenlock and the other fullbacks feel with Knudsen thrown straight into the starting 11 when his ITFC career was as good as buried?
Kenlock's probably used to that because he's come in time and again for Ipswich and done okay over the years. He's never really let Ipswich down, but then particularly under McCarthy he'd do that and then lose his place to Knudsen straight away again. Sadly, he's used to that.
And two fun questions for the end of mailbag. Our friend The Pin never lets us down. He wants to know, with Delia Smith involved at Norwich, what is on the menu for the press at half time? And is it tasty? Hashtag Big Porker.
Two parts to that question. Not a chance we're going to get anywhere near any food that's on offer at half time, because that is prime writing time with the amount that we are producing. So lots of, you do see journalists who don't have as much to do as we do.
Controversial.
Heading to press rooms at half time.
What's the food offering like generally at Norwich?
This is it. Mm. In fact, it was very much a big porker.
Was it?
Yes. A very big sausage in a bun with some chips at 11 a.m, which is...
How did it compare to the big porker?
I've never had a big porker.
That's where we need to
But I really enjoyed the sausage.
I bet you did.
And it was very nice, as you would expect. The lady that works in the food area of the press room, she looks like Delia. I do wonder if there's a relation there, because both times I've been to Norwich now, I've thought, are you related to Delia? But any relation of Delia is a friend of mine. Absolutely. If they're producing big sausages.
Technically, a Suffolk lass, of course, Delia. Exactly. Lives in Suffolk.
Lives near Stew.
Yeah. Big houses out that way.
Exactly.
The Pin also wants to know, following that Lambert incident, have any of you ever been involved in a good old-fashioned scrap? Now then, first of all, that was not a scrap, The Pin. That was handbags and argy-bargy.
Is there any point in you answering this question? Because we know full well that you just get punched in the face and punch others in the face on a weekly basis.
Well, yeah, I mean, technically I have been, obviously, in fights and sparring and that sort of stuff. But in terms of a kind of school, I guess he's talking like playground sort of scrap back in the day in fights. Did you ever tussle at school?
I had one fight at school and it was rubbish.
Was it?
Yeah.
Who was it against?
Stuart Dale. Yeah, I remember it vividly. He was just... it was during a game of football and he was a really niggly footballer, as was I, and we just niggled.
Yeah.
And I think we pinned each other up against the fence, and that's where it ended, because neither of us are really fighters. We're just little... it was a rubbish fight. Neither of us won or lost. So yeah. I suppose I'm undefeated.
Yeah. Would you consider him a friend?
No.
No. Oh, okay. Because I was going to say, I remember, there were various little incidents I had when I was at school, but the one I remember most was with my best friend when we were playing basketball, and we had that classic situation where we were on opposite sides and we both really, really, really wanted to beat each other. And I remember that he was getting the better of me, and at one point something happened anyway. I ended up kicking him in the shin.
Nice.
Deliberately. And it sparked a little bit of a back and forth. But yeah, that was so kicking my best friend in the shin.
Does he like fighting as well?
No, he's more of a lover than a fighter.
Is he?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, very much so. And the other thing I remember from my youth is my granddad, who used to be in the forces, taught me to box when I was a kid. Did the same with my cousin, and so when we were very little, we used to have impromptu boxing matches. literally, just the two of us going at it, back and forth. Nice. We're both a similar age, no gloves or anything, just old fashioned.
Do you still do that now?
No, because he outweighs me by, I'd say, a good 4 stone now.
Ah, different weight classes.
Absolutely.
Although, punched in the street once.
Did you? By who?
I don't know.
What do you mean? How did that happen?
Just punched me in the street.
When was this?
Probably 2005.
Okay, we need to know more about this. So what happened? You were, whereabouts was it?
It was in Ipswich.
Yeah.
It was outside what was Fire and Ice.
Okay.
Which is now still derelict.
What time of day?
Night time.
Okay. You were what? You coming back from something, or?
Yeah, I don't think I'd been drinking really, but this guy that punched me clearly had, and he just lamped me right in the jaw, in front of a policeman, which was very silly.
Obviously, you didn't go down.
Oh no, no, no! Very much, I stayed on my feet.
Excellent.
And my now wife, very early stages girlfriend at the time, very impressed.
Was she?
Very impressed.
Outstanding.
Didn't fight back. I just turned around and shook my head at him.
Yeah.
Much like Farker, actually. I should have winked, just given it a little Farker.
And did
wink.
He get arrested, given it was in front of the
cover? Yes, he was, did. Yeah.
What a tool.
I know, it's very dumb.
What a tool.
Very silly.
And then we've also got a question I'm sure we've had before. Andy Evers, on the basis that we are down, I was just wondering whether there'll ever be a boy born who can swim faster than a shark. Hashtag Gareth. I'm sure we've had this conversation, because we got talking about whether sharks would come to land and take over and that sort of thing.
Yeah. I don't think there will be a boy that can swim faster than a shark, but didn't we then talk about whether there'll be a shark that can run faster than a
that's
boy?
That's right, that's where it came from.
And that's more likely.
Yeah,
I think in my opinion.
Tom Lawrence, not the Tom Lawrence, if you could only eat one meal every day for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Had this discussion the other day with my dad, actually.
Did you?
If I really had to pick one, it would be a curry.
What sort of curry?
A chicken tikka Ceylon.
Every day for the rest of your life?
Well, I have to have something, don't I? It has to be something.
But obviously that's not taking into account the people that you're being around, if you're eating curry every day for the rest
of your life. Yeah, but your body would adapt to be able to handle that more.
You reckon?
And yeah, what would you choose?
Pizza, all day, every day.
All day, every day.
Because you can have all sorts of pizza, can't you?
Can you though? Or can you
it
have...
It has to be the same.
Because you've just nailed me down to what type of curry
I'm
having.
True. If it is just general pizza, I'm saying the classic kind of meat feast, maybe.
Because you could always pick the meat off if you didn't want
exactly.
If you didn't want to be meaty.
If you were meat bound,
you could if you felt your face was getting too puffy because you've eaten too much bread.
Yeah,
you could just scoop off the cheesy mess and have like the cheese and meat.
Cut back on the carbs.
Yeah.
So pizza's a great.
So, yeah, I never thought about that.
It's
you
your
don't have
food, mate.
You don't have to eat it all, do you?
Pizza's the number one food for me.
With my curry, would I be able to get like naans and poppadoms with it as well?
They're standard accoutrements, aren't they?
So, I would say so.
Yeah.
So what I'd go for?
I'd give you options.
I'd go for a chicken Ceylon.
Yeah.
Of just a plain rice, just a boiled rice. I don't need any fried rice. That's nonsense. And I'd have two poppadoms and a garlic naan.
Lovely. Sounds delicious. I fancy a curry now, actually.
That's what I had last night when I got home from Norwich.
Outstanding.
Ordered it on the train back and everything. So it was there when I got home.
Perfect. Alistair Rattray. Given that Paul Lambert... These are additional questions we've had in while we've been discussing this.
Keep going.
Nonsense.
Keep going.
Given that Paul Lambert has been able to sign 7 players in January, is it a concern that he seemingly doesn't know exactly how he plans to use them? Hence the regular changes of style/personnel.
Yeah.
Yours sincerely, friend of the show applicant.
Wow.
This list is coming.
It is coming. I have started it.
Yeah.
There is one. It comes from a starting point of our man Daryl.
He's got to be number one.
He is number one. And yeah. And friends of the show do get a number as well.
Yeah.
So you are number one.
He's the first entry into our Hall of Fame. When are we going to drop the list, by the way? Next week, shall we do it?
When we're all together.
Next week.
Yeah.
Are you around next week?
I'll be around at some point next week. Yeah, we'll do one maybe Thursday.
Okay.
Then I'll be around.
Okay.
My brother wants to be a friend of the show.
Does he?
Yeah.
Has he ever left us a review?
He certainly hasn't left a review.
Has he ever asked a question?
Yeah, well, no.
It's not looking good for him.
He has asked a question once. I think I replied to him, why have you asked me this on here?
Oh.
Just text me.
It's not looking good for his application. When you said last week that... If you want to be a friend of the show, it's not enough.
No, it isn't enough.
Ask a question.
It isn't enough.
You've got, at the very minimum, you've got to leave us a review, 5-star
absolute
review.
Minimum.
And you've got to add something else, I think.
You've got to bring something
bring
else.
Bring something else.
And can I reveal a friend of the show right now?
Yeah.
The Pin.
The Pin? Has he left us a review?
I don't know.
Ah!
If you haven't left a review, you're not eligible. But in terms of... Because The Pin... is a more than football man, and he makes you smile every week.
He does. He has some good questions on here. He is actually an egg on Twitter. I'm not sure. We won't hold that against him.
No, the pin may make the list.
So anyway, the question was...
Alistair, though.
He's a good lad. He's a good lad. He left a little thing last week saying he loved me in action, as it were, on the Derby Day podcast. So a man of exquisite taste and judgment. He says, Is it a concern that Lambert seemingly doesn't know exactly how he plans to use these new signings that he's made?
Yeah, I would say. I think the signings come from a place of feeling like you need just a bit more experience, which they all have in their own way.
Yeah.
This is it for me. I think you need to find something and stick with it selection wise. Be that now, or be that when you've made the decision to kind of, to use an Americanism, tank.
Tank.
Obviously we all want to see a... Like Norwich knew exactly what side they were putting out for this game. That was... It doesn't change. If they're all available. This is why Jordan Rhodes was on the bench and we didn't even talk about him at all.
Yeah.
Leading up to this game. He was giving it big after the game, by the way.
Was he?
For his 4 minutes on the field.
Interesting.
Yeah,
Interesting.
He was loving it.
That wasn't a storyline at all.
No, didn't even mention it.
And when would you think that would be the case? Jordan Rhodes playing for Norwich against Ipswich. Zach Ward is the final thought of the day. It's not really a question, just a statement. We did okay, pressed hard, but severely lacking quality up top. We need a Murphy-like target man, ideally. How Nolan got into that 11 is baffling. It's all the more embarrassing after Ian Mills' comments about not thinking Norwich's structure might not work 12 to 18 months ago. Sad face, Zach. Yes, I agree with all of that, I'd say.
Yep.
Yeah. So where do we go from here, Hutchie? The question, of course, is we go to johnbanks.co.uk to get our new vehicles, new or used.
Yeah, if there's anything that will pick you up from a Derby Day defeat,
absolutely,
it's a new car. So, yeah.
But after you've been to johnbanks.co.uk, we look ahead to the week. We've got Derby coming on Wednesday. The super mighty Derby County, the mighty Rams.
Yep.
Bringing with them Jack Marriott and Martin Waghorn, of course.
And Tom Lawrence,
yeah. And then Saturday, a double home game, a home stand, as they call it in America. Stoke City. Now, Town, surely you've got to get at least 4 points from this 6 games, haven't they?
If we're talking about survival, then yeah. Yeah, of course you have. And they can't rely on the other teams around them just not winning, which they really haven't been doing. This feels like we're kind of drawing out the pain. But yeah, I think you're right. It's got to be four.
If you're Lambert, do you change anything for Derby? What do you do team-wise?
I think you might have to with Freddie being out.
Of course, yeah. What's the update?
I'm not sure they know. A lot of questions were lost because of so much focus being on the fact that Lambert had to be restrained by a policeman. Freddie didn't look very nice. It looked like maybe a jarred knee in there. He was certainly in pain.
It looked nasty, actually, on the replay. It's the sort of thing you can see people fracture their kneecaps and do ligaments and all sorts.
I don't think he's done that,
yeah,
which is good. But I would say he would be a doubt for... We'll find out more tomorrow, but I'd say he'd have to be a doubt. And in that scenario, I'd bring in Harrison.
I think. And do you try and find a way to get Judge playing like he was for much of that game against Norwich, give him a bit more freedom?
I think you need to try and find a way to get Teddy Bishop in that team as well.
Yeah.
We'll see.
We will see. Before we go, I just want to shout out the people who have left us reviews on iTunes because it's important. Please do leave us a 5-star review on iTunes because it helps us tremendously with our visibility. I'm told by the people who know. There's a couple I want to mention by name. March ITFC, I enjoyed this. I think I read this to you last week. Stu and Andy illustrate while there'll always be a need for quality journalism, their fair, insightful and well-informed opinions are a welcome relief to the tedious noise of some fans on social media. Keep up the good work. Mark provides decent banter.
He's nailed it.
Absolutely.
That's
nailed
very,
it.
Very kind to say.
Absolutely nailed it. Dan Fenn says Mark makes a great host. Steve is fantastic at giving an honest, balanced opinion. And Andy completes the trio with his slightly biased affection for the town. That's nice. And also, breaking news, The Pin has just left us a review. 21 hours ago. Pub banter without the need to go for a pee every 30 minutes. Hopefully that secures my place in the Hall of Fame. The Pin.
Well, shall we do...
You want to jump the gun and start handing out Hall of Fame places now?
Well, I think it's just to tease the... It's not Hall of Fame. This is a friend of the show status.
That is essentially our Hall of Fame.
It is, but can we... I think The Pin is friend of the show.
The Pin's in. The Pin is a friend of the show.
The Pin is a friend of the show.
DJ, Daryl Jones from Jacksonville, he is also a friend of the show.
Yep.
Absolutely. They're the first two. and we'll bring you what a list of the top five.
We're going to do five. We're going to start with five.
We'll try and do that next week. I hope you've enjoyed this look back at the Derby Day and extended mailbag. Hopefully it's not been too depressing for you. You've obviously missed the Dr. Stuart Watson, Stephen Watson. He'll be back with us next time we do one of these. He'll be back in the office tomorrow for the press conference ahead of Derby. Andy Hutch-Warren will get through today and then go to sleep for the rest of tomorrow. Good to have you with us as ever, Hutchie. Just remains to be said, make sure you subscribe via your various podcast providers and also support our sponsor, johnbanks.co.uk. Look out for the John Banks Ride and Drive events coming soon near you. That's johnbanks.co.uk. And I think we've been talking enough now, Hutch. Should we go and do some work?
Can I just say no other business?
Any other business?
No other business.
We'll see you again next week. Podcast extra. We've literally just finished recording. Andy's picked up his phone and said, breaking Freddie Sears news. And literally, as we just discussed, wasn't sure what was going on with his knee. Turns out it's pretty serious, Hutchie.
Yeah, cruciate knee ligament injury, out for 9 months, which is a real, real blow for Freddie.
Yeah.
We did just say that he hasn't fractured his kneecap, but he has in fact done his knee ligament. And that's a real shame. He carried on. He was running. The injury happened. He was running around. He carried on after that impact injury. But 9 months out for Freddie, and that is a blow.
That is a blow.
That's a real blow to a player who would get the impression would have been a central figure in League One.
Okay. Well, there you go. That's the breaking news of Podcast Extra. Unfortunately, it's pretty downbeat. But there you go. So Freddie Sears out for 9 months. Let's go and get that online, Hutchie.